I think one of the most interesting stories is about the first casualties of the Great War from Utah, Guy Alexander and Claytor Preston, two young men who were from Cache Valley. They were best friends. They had gone to school here together. They got married on the same day, so they really had done everything together. They were in the band, first on campus, and then they were in the community band. They joined the Army band together as well. And then they went down to Fort Douglas for training. And as they were leaving training, going back east to deploy, their train was in an accident in Colorado. And they, along with a couple other Utahns, were killed. They never made it overseas, but they were the first casualties from Utah. Their funeral was huge. It filled the Logan Tabernacle. It was overflowing. People couldn't even fit in. And this memorial to these two young men. And they were both buried just north of the UPR station in the Logan Cemetery. Preston is a local name, local family, so there's a family plot there. So Claytor is buried there with his family, and Guy Alexander, he ended up being buried there in the Preston family plot as well. In Logan especially, there was a large German-speaking population. The area here in Logan between about 200 North and 10th North was called Little Berlin. There were so many German speakers in that area. A lot of them were actually Swiss. There was a German-speaking LDS branch. And that was very much part of the culture here. And during the war, that changed. There was definitely a strong anti-German sentiment at that time. And the LDS German branch was very quietly closed down, disbanded. The teaching of the German language was forbidden. Some people who spoke German as their native language, or even, and sometimes it was the only language that they spoke very well, would just not speak it. They would speak English or nothing. They gave up that part of their culture. The bell ringer, this was back at a time when they actually had bells, and the janitor here on campus, Joe Havertz, he was a very popular figure on campus. He would umpire their baseball games. And before World War I broke out, they called him the Kaiser because he was from Germany. But after the war broke out, that wasn't funny anymore to be called the Kaiser. And so he requested in the student newspaper, please don't call him this anymore. He's a loyal American citizen. He's never so much as tipped his hat to the Kaiser. His wife spoke primarily German. She didn't speak very much English, but he forbade any German, even in the home. He said, we don't speak German anymore. We only speak English. When the U.S. did join the war, Utah had only been a state for a little over 20 years at this point, and there was still maybe some question about if Utahns were real Americans or how loyal they were. But they were buying war bonds and holding rallies, and there were gardens and rationing and all these things we think about with World War II. They happened in World War I as well, and Utah stepped up and had this definite attitude of, we're going to do our bit. Maud Finch is one of them. She was a woman from Utah who paid her own way to go over to France and be an ambulance driver. This is how it was for women during the war. If you wanted to go and help out, not only were you a volunteer, but you paid your way. She has to pay for her own ambulance to be able to drive an ambulance over there. Her parents are trying to help her with as far as sending money. She did end up driving her ambulance to the front and rescuing the soldiers that had been injured and bringing them back to hospitals. She went unrecognized for the most part for that in the United States, but won a medal for her bravery from the French. If we're looking here on campus, from the male learning standpoint, it was shut down. As far as the men on campus, they were pretty much all involved in the war effort, but there were still women on campus as well. They were cooking for these guys. If they were studying home economics, which a lot of them were, that would be just part of their classes. They'd be down in the mess halls cooking for the men that were here training. Those buildings on the north and south side of the quad were built as barracks for soldiers. And the president of the Utah Agricultural College, E.G. Peterson, had the foresight to say, let's build them out of brick instead of wood. So after the soldiers are gone and all the students come back, these buildings are here. The things that he did, he took advantage of all this training that was going on to help the college grow towards becoming Utah State University. World War I has all these little impacts that I think maybe we don't realize. I think it's a shame that World War I gets overlooked, hidden, buried under the big stories of World War II. Those stories haven't been passed down, but while the war was going on, it impacted everyone.